Hello, my name is Paul Anderson, and I am here with...
Sanaa Lathan.
And Lance Hendrickson. Why are they laughing?
I don't want to do this commentary with you, Lance. Your voice just sounds far too good. 20th century... Got designs for the way he spelt out alien in the first movie. And then we had all the little predator text as well.
This was great.
It looks like it's in the ocean.
I thought I didn't know what I was seeing, and
I
then it becomes the satellite.
Yeah.
It's just great.
It looks like some kind of big creature, kind of
yeah,
like
does.
Some kind
it looks
of space.
Like the queen.
Yes,
right.
It's supposed to be the alien queen.
Yeah.
And we built a satellite so that when you look at it at a certain angle, it looks like the queen.
Wow. That's
and
great.
Then we morphed bits of the CG queen onto it to kind of like enhance the cheek.
Great stuff, man.
Wayland Corporation, you own that, Lance.
I know, I recognize it.
One of your fleet of satellites.
Many. God. That you know, that was the nicest feeling, playing a billionaire. I really should have got a hold of Bill Gates because he didn't want to return my calls, but I wanted to find out.
Did you try?
Yeah, I did. I tried to find out what it was like to be a billionaire, and then...
It's good, I presume.
It's
there
very good. And not only that,
Lance.
You never have to have anything in your pockets.
Hey, come here. So that's Frankenstein meets the Wolfman playing on TV there.
Oh.
Wow.
And also that is the nodding duck from Alien just on the right-hand side of the screen.
The what?
The little nodding duck thing, that was on the Nostromo in the very first Alien.
There's a lot of tributes you put in this movie.
Yeah, I think just as a fanboy,
yeah,
I kind of wanted to kind of pepper it, especially at the start. Like the Morse code in that scene.
Okay.
If you're a fan of Morse code, it spells out, whoever wins, we lose.
Are you serious?
Right.
Yeah.
Good work.
You're so thorough, Paul.
Damn it. I love Morse code.
So that's me on the top of the mountain.
You can read it? You read Morse code?
This is Sanaa up on top of the mountain. I mean, it really...
In Kumaiere.
I was really impressed
with
this.
The coldest day I've ever experienced in my life.
This is my favorite thing. She hangs there by one arm talking on a cell phone.
She's a bad bitch.
We built this set because the close-ups of Sanaa were actually on a set. We're really up the mountain. The wide shots like this are a stunt double. Close-ups of Sanaa. And we're really thousands and thousands of feet up. It was the highest set ever built. I think we hold the record.
And it was the first day we got there, the wind chill was minus 80 degrees Celsius.
Are you serious?
That's minus 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And I literally thought that I was going to have to chop my fingers off from frostbite. They were so on fire.
Paul, is that, that's CG in the background.
Yeah, the
but that's
the pyramid.
Amazing.
That's really the Pyramid of the Sun, which is in Teotihuacan in Mexico.
But that's seamless. I couldn't tell anything.
No, that's good. That's good CG. Actually, I was talking to a Mexican journalist the other day, and he was asking me whether we shot it in Mexico. So.
Wow, that's great.
Whereas,
stuff.
In fact, it was
really?
It was a sand pit in Prague, and It was a sand quarry, and it was our first day of shooting, and it was the worst first day I've ever had. Because for the first 4 hours,
it was snowing.
Right? It was snowing. Yeah, you know, it was snowing in Mexico, and it was supposed to be really hot. And all the extras, you couldn't get them to take their coats off because they're all freezing to death.
Look at that one guy's really freezing. But this was cold that day.
Yeah, it was freezing, and
the
sun literally came out for about 2 hours, and that was it.
And all those people are from Prague.
Yeah,
all the extras are from Prague.
Oh wow. Yeah,
they look Mexican to me.
It was some good extra casting.
Great. That's Raul Bova there, that guy.
The fine ass Raul.
The fine ass Raul Bova.
Fine ass.
Well, you would know better than I. I never looked at his ass once.
Not once, me either.
Now, Colin Salmon's ass. Looked at his ass a few times.
Wayland. This is subliminal advertising for my company.
And we kept the W from the original Weyland-Yutani design. We just took out the Y element of it.
This was like in interior, and they were shaking the box. Wow.
You're giving away movie secrets here.
Well, you were just saying things with CGI. CGI.
Can I ask
CGI.
You why you got rid of the captain? Remember that talk on the ice? Remember that? The captain, there was a scene where...
Yeah, there was a little scene. I mean, why did we get rid of it?
Yeah.
Money. Schedule.
Gotcha.
I mean, we made the movie on a real budget. I mean, when I...
You
when
could
I,
have fooled me, man. It looked like you had everything you could ever desire, you know?
I mean, it's one of the things I'm really happy about the movie is it does look very, very... I mean, I think very expensive.
It looks big. Oh, it looks like a big movie.
You know, we made it cheaper than David Fincher made Alien 3, and that was about...
Really?
You know, that was a long time ago.
How much did it cost?
Holy moly.
How much did this movie cost?
No, Alien 3.
No, nobody... No, we don't talk about how much this one cost.
No.
No.
So we can't talk about how much Alien 3 cost, but we made it for...
But it's on the internet. And we certainly made it. How much this cost.
Yeah, okay. So we...
It is.
We did it at a very reasonable price. But I mean,
it's hard to believe. It really is, man. It's totally hard to believe for me. I've been peddling 90 million. You know, that's what I've been... Every interview they say, how much was it? And I said, 90, about 90.
But the less it costs,
all in.
The more of a success we are, right?
Well, exactly. We were kind of...
Well, I was obviously stupid to do that.
I always said, more than $100.
Look at that. That's great. That's great stuff.
So
man.
That's a miniature?
You think so? This is. I hate this shot. Most,
do you?
This is the visual effects shot I really hate in the movie because I think it just looks...
Because of the helicopter, the way it's moving, you mean?
Yeah, and you know...
The ship is great.
Yes, the ship is good. It's just the helicopter, to me, I don't think
it
we ever got
too
the
much.
Motion of it correct.
No,
it And did. It just it looks like a miniature, and that's what it was.
But it's
And it was a big regret of mine, especially because I think there are some very, very fine visual effects in the movie. But that was, I think, the weakest shot, and it's right at the start of the film. So
and it's a mistake to do that. Yeah, I know.
But we could, I don't know, we could never fix it. We could never get it right. You know, the ideal thing would have been to go to Antarctica and shoot a real helicopter approaching a real ship, but...
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of pricey to do that.
You spent a lot too much money on that guy, the one that's up on the balcony there.
Yeah, well, we had to buy him, you know.
You had to buy him, yeah.
He doesn't come cheap.
No way. Look at that. Look at that. Great stuff. Great stuff. Oh, buddy. I ain't got much to say about all of this. This is so good. I mean, it's just like... it's. I love that ship hull and everything.
Well, let's talk about Sanaa up on the ice waterfall some more then. Because I haven't finished talking about
was that. Can I ask you something? Was that some... Who was up on there?
Me!
No. I mean, the stunt
there was,
man.
There was a... No, it was a stunt woman. Well, she wasn't a stunt woman, actually.
She was actually one of the...
A climber?
The top rock climbers in
But she wasn't worried
Britain.
About climbing that waterfall?
Well,
she was trained.
She was. Because she was a rock climber. She never climbed on ice before. So we trained her to climb on the ice.
Oh, my God.
But the problem with climbing those ice waterfalls is, you know, it's not like a sheer rock face where it's solid rock.
Right,
those
it can
things
break
can
off.
Give way at any time.
And just the whole thing come down.
And we were in a real race because of the time of year that we shot it at to actually get it in time. Because wow. you want to wait when you're shooting it so that the sun catches the waterfall so it looks really nice. But the longer you leave it with the sun beating on the waterfall, the more it melts.
The weaker it
the
is.
The more the chance that it just collapses.
Was she tied off?
We were.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was tied off and then we removed the ropes. You know, we rubbed them out, CG.
Wow, wow.
She took me
out. So there's that moment where it looks like Lex is slipping, and that actually, that was the stunt woman actually fell off the waterfall, but she was still held there by the rope.
Wow.
So we actually just cut away just in time before you'd see her fall off the waterfall.
That's
it was
scary stuff.
It was really scary stuff.
Yeah, it really is.
But I mean, Sanaa.
She took me in a rock room. She took me to a rock bar in Prague, and I got to get a taste of what it was like to be up on a you know, rock climbing. And
a rock bar?
A rock bar. You haven't heard of those?
God,
it's like where
no.
you go into a room, and there's like these little grooves in the wall.
No.
And there's actually a bar outside, and they
that
have all
like
these
my hotel
mats.
Room.
Did you come?
No, I didn't.
It actually
anyway,
looked like
it is.
I thought you might complain
I
to
could
me,
see.
So I thought best if I didn't go.
Look how beautiful you look in this.
Movie. I hate that shot.
They
of
lit
me.
You so beautifully.
Why don't you like that?
Because that jacket is bulky and I don't like the way it looks.
They lit
well,
me really badly. They lit you really
But I didn't know it was going to look like that. But don't get defensive. I mean, it's not your fault.
It's all my fault. Are you kidding?
It's all your fault.
That little pen thing was a tribute to that.
Oh, yeah. We missed the pen thing. That
no,
was one
it just
of,
happened. It's okay.
That was one of my favorite things that we did. And when you watch the movie with an audience of like fans who know the alien, who know aliens, they just go crazy over it.
I don't even know the pen thing. What is it?
It's like a visual quote from Aliens where Lance puts his hand over
Bill
Paxton's hand.
And uses the knife.
Yes.
And I just did it right before you come in. I was doing it with the pen idly while I was looking at the computer.
Because the idea for story-wise was that I wanted to get some casting continuity with the Alien movies, and Lance was the perfect candidate because Bishop in Aliens and Alien 3 was an android, and I thought if Weyland invented all of this technology, you know, and eventually, you know, he's the it's like kind of Microsoft building an android with the face of Bill Gates in 150 years' time.
Yeah,
but then Lance came up with the idea that if they're going to use his face for the Bishop Android, they would also use his mannerisms. So he was kind of doing some of the kind of like the tics and the mannerisms of Bishop
just
and kind of retrofitting it to Weyland.
Retrofitting. Is that a word? I like that.
Yeah, it's a good word.
Retrofitting.
Yeah. Just bringing in those elements.
Try and
I know
use that.
What retrofitting means. But that's is that a real word?
Yes, sure it is.
Okay, that's it. So now,
I'm sorry. Retrofitting? I've never heard of that.
You use that at your premiere tonight. I dare you.
All right.
I spent my day retrofitting. Let them watch their expression. Look how beautiful she looks. Look at that lighting. You had a great...
We had a great
DP on this boy.
David Johnson.
Yeah. Boy, is he great. He even knew enough to make me even look more haggard. He did. They drained the color and everything every scene I'm in. Right?
Yeah. Well, we did that. We did a digital internegative on the movie as well, so we could go back and kind of alter the coloring slightly. So we made you paler throughout
Good,
the whole
you
movie.
You sure did. Every line in my face, I mean, that could be the map of Antarctica, man. It's just like with every little glacier.
Yeah, we went back and we kind of like just kind of give Sanaa a bit of a glow
look
here.
Look at that
glow.
Man.
And it's like, oh, there's Lance. We're just going to make him look like really
Lance.
Ill.
You know, they spray painted. No. No, it's great. I loved it. I loved it when I saw it. I swear to you. I really did. Every bit of it.
Well, that's very important to me because I really saw you as the gatekeeper of kind of the Alien legacy on set.
Yay.
You know, because I love Aliens so much. I think I've seen it like 100 times.
Have you really?
Wow, are you serious?
Yeah, really. And I can quote huge chunks
like
of it.
Like, when do you see it? You just like, you'll go home right now.
It's like it's my default.
Not right now.
Yeah, right now, I'm going
You know
half,
what I mean? Like,
I'm
you do it at night and just on the weekends. And...
Well, whenever... Well, you know, you like go home and you don't know what to watch. It's my default setting. I just watch Aliens again because I enjoy it so much.
What's really interesting too, though, I mean, imagine the obsession of wanting to do this movie.
I know, that's amazing.
And then this I loved. This kind of CG, it was so storytelling. It was just great.
This again is like we wanted to do like a visual reference to Alien, where the Nostromo comes to life and you see all the lettering, the computer lettering reflected in the astronauts' helmets.
Yeah, it was great.
We thought we'd kind of do the same with the Predator helmets.
Oh, it was terrific, man.
I told you she'd stay.
Gentlemen.
She can't resist my animal.
This was one of my audition scenes, my screen test scenes.
Was it really?
Yeah.
How was it? How did you do?
How did I do, Paul?
You did good. You got
your screen test?
You know what? Actually, on this particular scene, I kept forgetting my lines, remember?
Yeah, but, you know, we got you cheap, so...
During the screen test, I was like, oh, God, I'm messing it up. I'm not going to get the job because I kept forgetting the lines.
We auditioned so many women for this role because, you know, the whole concept of following in Sigourney's footsteps, you know, we just had to find the best actress out there for the role. So we auditioned so many people, and I did so many screen tests with this scene.
You don't remember.
By the time, I just hated it. It's like, on this day, I'm like, oh, I have to shoot this scene again. I felt I'd been doing theatre for like 6 years, doing the same thing over and over again.
Wow. I really liked Agathe.
Yeah, she was a real discovery.
She's a real sweetheart, man. Yeah, she really is.
It's a nice little scene. I'm glad that
you decided to stay. Well. That was a great little scene. I mean, yeah, connected you to those.
Connect the two girls.
To those people, yeah.
Women.
Women, sorry.
Did you enhance this snow at all, or was that it? That's what was there.
Which shot?
This.
There was no shot. Oh.
Well, they were pulling up?
The exterior shots, yeah, we added the snow.
You did?
I mean,
more.
The side shot with those vehicles driving along, those were actually miniatures.
Yeah.
They're like 3 feet long.
Oh, jeez.
And in the interior cab scenes, these vehicles are called piston bullies. The piston bullies aren't actually moving. What's happening is that vehicle's stationary, and then all the other vehicles are just slowly driving backwards to give the illusion of movement.
See all the layers that we have on? It was really, really hot. The hats, and we have about 3 layers underneath those Antarctic jackets.
This is one of my favorite images from the movie.
That was like at what? Like 4 o'clock in the morning, do you guys remember?
Yeah, and
that?
It was really cold when we shot that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And we shot that in a garbage dump in Prague.
Now that stuff coming down, that was there. I remember that, right?
No, that was fake.
No, but I mean, it was like, it was
oh,
really
yeah,
there.
That was...
That's
yeah.
not CG.
No. No, we did that for real.
But it was great snow that those guys made.
We did a lot of testing on the snow before we made the movie, and we did lots of, as well as screen testing actors, we screen tested snow. And we did lots of snow tests, and we tested paper snow, and plastic snow, and foam
potato.
Snow.
Potato as well.
And
potato
we used
snow.
Foam yeah. and
That was
paper.
My personal favorite, potato snow.
Was it?
Yeah, because I just loved the whole concept of snow made of potatoes.
We used that on Jennifer 8, but it would get caught in your throat like a potato chip. It would literally come at you and get caught. And a lot of scenes I'd be going, you know, like gagging on it.
The other big problem was it would lie on the ground, and then if there was any rain, you'd literally get like mashed potato on the ground.
Look at this stuff. Great stuff, man.
Yeah, we ended up mainly using foam, which is what most of this is.
We were really lucky with the night shoots, the exteriors, because we shot them right before it got cold in Prague.
Yeah, before
Remember?
It got really cold.
And oh, then man. It's like everything else was interior.
Yeah, we didn't shoot anything in Antarctica, but it certainly felt like it when it got very cold.
Well, it sure did. That's like they look like alien parts hanging
yeah.
there. This was a great set. This was like a mind-blowing set. I loved it.
We based this whaling station set on a lot of reference photographs of real abandoned whaling stations.
Really?
And they're still out there. You know, you go to these little islands off Antarctica, and they're these perfectly preserved whaling stations
wow.
that are like 80 years old.
And because the coldest is keeping
Yeah, the coldest. So, and they really do have the cups still frozen to the tables. And,
wow.
You know, all of that's out there. This is an interior set now.
We shot that way after.
Which we built in an airport hangar in Prague. The whole movie was shot in Prague, other than the opening scene on the ice waterfall, which we did on...
In Italy, in the Italian Alps.
I remember this
Monte
really
Bianco.
Well. Those sets were as big as football fields. They really were big. They were huge. The first time I walked into the pyramid, I was blown away. I really was. Weren't you?
Yeah. I mean, the first day of
Especially
shooting.
Especially the mica.
Remember the first
the
day
mica?
Of shooting with the stairs?
That was fantastic. With the what?
The stairs. The first
Running
day of shooting. Yeah.
yeah.
I was like, oh my God, is this what it's like to make an action movie? I was like, oh my God. He's like, okay, one more time, please. One more time, please.
Listen,
I was dying.
All those romantic movies you'd made.
I know.
And then we kicked your ass.
This guy's the funniest guy, Ewan. When the minute we got back, Sony asked us to do a one-day shoot together, a comedy together.
Really?
Ewan told me while I was in Prague, he said, would you do it? And I said, yeah, I'll do it. It was just two characters, me and him.
I love it.
Then we shot it for a whole day when I got back. It was great. He's funny, man.
He's a great
actor.
He's a character. Oh, man.
And originally we had his, he was doing an American accent. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember.
For the first 2 weeks of shooting, he was doing an American accent, and it just wasn't working.
I never noticed. That's how bad it was working.
Because he would be so funny, like, on the set before we started shooting, and then as soon as we'd roll the cameras, and I'd call action, and he started speaking like an American, he'd stop being funny.
Oh, wow.
So we kind of made the decision that he should be Scottish.
And it's so funny because he didn't tell us. And then I was like, oh, his American accent is really bad. Once he was Scottish again.
You just thought it was slipping?
I thought it was slipping.
And I hadn't noticed.
But I hadn't noticed that he wasn't not doing... I thought he was doing a Scottish accent.
Oh, when he was doing the American
accent. That shows how well his American accent was.
That's how good it was.
Jeez.
No, he does a good American accent. In Black Hawk Down, he did a great American accent.
Oh, wow.
I think it's just difficult to be funny in an accent that's not your own.
Really? Oh, because it's all about rhythm.
I think so.
Timing, yeah, timing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the way to the pyramid.
That
is
just
my burger
depressed
here?
Us all. What happened?
In the same time yesterday. Is my burger here, you guys?
How is it done? The burger's there.
I wonder if I can
run out and have a couple bites.
No, don't break. Just continue.
She wants to get to her premiere. That's what. This part I loved. That whole cutout, you know, the laser having hit this thing. That was great stuff.
I don't know if we ever conveyed that as clearly as I would have liked to. The idea of the laser having cut through all of those buildings.
And right down into the thing. Yeah.
I mean, maybe it reads, but it was all drawn out by the computer and we cut the hole exactly so it all lined up and everything.
Yeah. You know what I think? I think as people see it more over and over again, they'll get it.
Yeah, because I think it's such an abstract idea that, and you don't really know what you're looking at to start with.
It's super dense, this movie. It really is.
Okay, guys, what's taking so long? There's a storm coming.
God, our big joke on this was to turn to Quinn and say, all right, I want you to fill up the big hole and drill another hole right next to it with your drill.
You're really good in this scene. I really like this scene a lot.
Yeah, you made me do it a few different ways, that's for sure. Till you got a reality that you wanted. I remember that. It's a well-written scene, though. That's a very well-written scene.
Yeah. My dad broke his leg 700 feet from the summit. You know, we wanted in the structure of the movie... we wanted to kind of copy what Ridley had done in Alien and Cameron had done in Aliens, which is to have, you know, to have a relatively slow build to seeing the creatures because, you know, we're what, like, we must be like 25 minutes
already
into the picture.
In the film?
Yeah, and you haven't seen an alien yet or anything. And, you know, we wanted to do that exactly so we could have these kind of scenes to kind of help build a little bit of character. So when you all start
dying, care about these people. Yeah, you got to care about them.
And we didn't take... you know, in terms of minutes, as long as Cameron did or Ridley did, to kind of get the creatures into the movie. But also think that, you know, times have moved on and, you know, I just don't think you can make movies that have such a slow build anymore. But certainly, you know, it's a lot slower build in this movie than it was, say, in Alien Resurrection or Alien 3 to the appearance of the creatures.
This is where it really begins. Where's your hamburger?
Under there, I just took the bread off.
Oh, nice.
This was the most miserable set we shot on. In reality, we only had about 60 feet of set here, and it was flat on the ground, so the illusion of it sloping down is purely being done with camera angles and with the actors leaning.
Leaning.
It's real kind of Star Trek acting.
Because it was inside and we had to wear all that stuff, we were all sweating profusely.
Yeah, so the actors were miserable, and also it's very difficult to work on a curved surface like that.
Especially when it's made of shiny foam.
Yeah, because you keep slipping. And also just having your body at an angle, it's incredibly tiring. You wouldn't think so, but after like 15, 20 minutes...
Now that's hard to believe they were dragging me, and that's dead level, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's hard to believe. I mean, it's so well done.
Yeah, Lance was on a little boogie board.
With wheels, and they were pulling me.
Yeah, and there was a track that ran down the middle of the set. And we would pull him at high speed, and then Lance would twist by just kicking, right?
Was it fun, Lance?
Yeah. It was fun for about the first five takes. And after, you know, after a whole day of it, you start to feel like you've got sunstroke. Wow. God, this is great.
You were such
stuff.
A good sport on the movie, though.
Oh, I loved every minute of it.
How was I?
Oh, awful to work with.
Oh, yeah, with all the hairdressers and everybody lurking, holding, you know, doing your nails every 5 minutes. Hey, no, it was a pleasure, this movie. Absolute pleasure to work on. It really was.
That was all right. Yeah. Sorry, everybody, I'm chewing.
No, I loved every minute of it. It was like my last visit to this world.
You don't know that for sure.
I know Paul's a great writer. He could do anything. I could be down there.
Waylon's twin brother.
Yeah, my twin brother, Yutani, comes and he's really pissed off. This is one of my favorite moments when your thing goes out and mine goes on. I'm scared. Everybody went, ugh! It's like a shock.
Yeah.
This was a difficult set to shoot in because I wanted to light it just with that flare because I think it looks really cool, but those flares... Because those are real flares. They give off so much smoke. And because this was an interior set, we could only do one take. And then it would take half an hour just to kind of air out the set. So it was really slow working in
here. The sulfur, yeah.
I don't understand it. No equipment. No sign of
another. Look at you all with your goggles on your heads.
Huh?
That looked really cool. I can't remember
who
did that.
That was Lance's idea. Because I was going to wear mine around. I don't know.
Was that? Well, I think it was. It was Lance was the...
He said it looks cooler, so I was like, okay.
Lance wore his goggles on his head, and everyone saw how cool it looked, and then copied you.
It really looks cool. Mm-hmm.
And then I spent the whole movie going, oh, my God, why did I allow them to do that? Because all it did was they just reflected the crew and the light.
No.
Yeah, all the way...
We fogged them up, though.
Yeah, I mean, we spent the whole movie trying to, like, move people's heads to avoid the reflections and putting anti-glare on the glasses.
Wow. Look at that.
But there should be a prize for someone who has enough attention to go through the movie and count how many times you see the DP
in the
reflected
goggles.
In Lance's goggles. Congratulations. Look, you can see the lights there reflected in Sanaa's goggles right there.
Yeah. But you look cool. Really cool.
That's,
Paul actually had me take them off in the scene with you.
Oh, yeah?
He said, no, take them off. I want you to look weaker. So I took him off and put him on my arm, which still was kind of machismo, you know. So God, this was amazing.
Is that what I said to make you take the glasses off?
Yeah, you told me. Take them off.
I want your character to look weak.
I want you to look weaker. Yeah,
those
you look
lights
too strong.
Were about 5 pounds.
You look too heroic, you said.
Those were good, those xenon torches. They're very expensive to buy and... you know, because we're doing the movie on a budget, I could only get 3 of them. So the whole movie was done with...
Are you serious?
Yeah, the whole movie was done with 3 torches.
I had
torches.
No idea you were in that kind of a squeeze.
And it would be a big thing between me and the second unit, between Barrett, the second
borrowing
unit director,
them?
And myself. We'd have to virtually schedule the entire movie around who could have these torches. Because we both couldn't be shooting like scenes that required the torches at the same time.
Paul, I had no idea that you were in that tight of budget.
I mean, you know, it was a big budget, but... You know, there were kind of corners we had to cut all the way through.
You know how much you got paid.
Yeah, your fee ate it all up, Lance.
Ate up all the other Xeons. Oh, no, man, I feel really guilty now. Yeah, but look at what this queen cost, pulling her out of that.
Yeah, we spent an awful lot on this. We spent in all the right places.
You did. This is wild stuff, man. I love all the little aliens coming to release her, bust her out.
All her little babies.
That was a great scene. The babies, yeah. This is pagan as hell, man. It really is.
You know, this is all quite closely based on the first Alien versus Predator comic book.
It is?
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, the idea of having the queen kind of kept in a kind of like chained in a machine like this and her being forced to lay eggs. That was all taken pretty, you know, directly from the Alien vs. Predator comic book.
Wow.
Thomas,
just count those torches. You'll never see more than three in any one shot.
The second is Aztec, pre-conquest era. The third is Cambodian.
Then you were right. Pyramid contains all three cultures.
That's what it looks like.
You may choose to enter. Those who choose may enter.
Who taught you to translate?
Yeah, now right after this movie, I have to do a very robust character. I really do. I really do. Some healthy guy.
It's not you.
All cut.
It's chosen.
Yep.
Only the chosen ones may enter.
You know, when the shit hits the fan in this movie, that really is the big... I mean, once it starts... Really, the action starts. It just is unbelievable.
Well, really,
it's right around here is where it begins.
That's how we wanted to structure it, because I think that term, when people call a movie a roller coaster ride, I think it's quite inappropriately used sometimes, because it's like people say, "Oh, it was a roller coaster ride, like right from the first minute to the last minute, it was nonstop action," and that's incorrect, because the first half of any roller coaster ride, and sometimes it's the best bit, is the anticipation.
Exactly.
You know, you're being dragged up and up and up
climbing,
and up.
Yeah.
That's when all the fear occurs, and then it's when you go over the edge, you get the nonstop action.
And you go absolutely numb.
You get adrenalized.
You're adrenalized, so you're numb as hell. You're just trying to breathe. This is wild stuff. This was all great. All this.
This is an image coming up that I got out of one of the comic books as well, the idea of the cloaked blades with blood dripping off them. So the only reason you can see the blades is because they're outlined by the blood.
That was great.
You know, we were very influenced by the AVP comic book series that Dark Horse published.
Wow.
We took a lot of images almost directly from that. And a lot of the images of the alien and the predator locked in
combat.
Do
they know that?
Yeah, I mean, the owner of Dark Horse is like credited as an exec producer on the
movie.
Oh,
nice. Wow.
You know, and I'd always felt that what Cameron had done so successfully with Aliens, and it's almost like an object lesson in how to make a sequel, is that he was following such a great movie, Ridley's movie, that I think he did the sensible thing, which is when he made Aliens, he made a slightly different kind of film. He didn't try and do Ridley's movie again, which was the small, kind of almost chamber piece horror.
Right.
He gave you all that extra action. He gave you, he made it a big action movie as well as a scary movie. And he gave you a lot of humor as well.
So big. Don't they? They look
the Predatoids?
Huge. Yeah.
They are big.
Yeah.
Hey, you know the other thing he did too, which is to take care of the business of the last film almost immediately when he opened. He had her having a dream with a chest burster coming out of her chest. And he took care of that, so he didn't have to do that again. You know what I mean? He was smart enough to know that those things were going to be demanded, and he took care of them, and then he could get on with his own film. That's how I saw it. When I saw the movie, I was so grateful that he didn't done it. Mm. Have her have that dream that she was, waking up in the hospital and it broke out of her chest. Because if you didn't deal with it, it would always be hanging over you.
This was the second day of shooting, I think.
Huh? This is?
What did you say about Lance, you were saying after you saw Aliens, you were like so blown away, you forgot to talk to Cameron about it?
Yeah, Jim Cameron had me see it with Gail Hurd and only the sound, the guy that was the mixer. It was just a few of us, and a few of the heads of Fox were sitting there. And I hadn't realized what a tour de force it was for him. You know, he had designed it, he had drawn it, he had created the machines, he had done all this incredible designing and work. And the movie was over, and I was sitting there absolutely stunned. I hadn't realized what a tour de force it was for him. And we stepped out onto the stairs. I kind of zombied my way out the front, was standing at the stairs, and Jim came out, and he says, "Well, what'd you think?" And I said, "Jim, I'm really speechless. I'm going to have to write you." I mean, imagine how stupid I was. "I'm going to have to write you a letter." And being the lazy actor that I am, I never wrote him the letter.
Right. So he probably thinks you hated it.
Yeah, he did. He told me 6 months later, we ran into each other. And I said, "Jim, I didn't write you the letter, but I was so stunned by it all." And I loved the movie. It was unbelievable. But for 6 months he thought I hated the movie. And it was this huge hit. When it came out, it was a big hit. And then after Abyss, he asked me again, he showed me that screening and he said, what'd you think?
Ooh, this is probably, I'm sorry, let me just say
yeah, go
this.
Ahead.
This is so gross.
It's a muffin
goodness.
Machine.
There's a guy's arm down the ovipositor.
Yeah.
And he's just squishing those eggs out by hand.
Ugh.
And we actually got the original guy who did it in Aliens.
He
came and stuck his arm down there for a second squishing.
You brought him all the way to
Prague? Oh, my God. What good karma, man.
Ugh.
Yeah, that was kind of gross.
Well, he came over. I think he was happy to be squishing again. He did as a favor to John Bruno.
Wow.
They knew one another.
So go ahead. I just wanted to just say that about those.
Oh no, it's very good. He thought he got away. Look at this.
These guys, our lead predator, Ian White, was 7 feet 2 inches tall, and he was an English basketball player. And we were really lucky to find someone who, he was really into the predator. He studied all the mannerisms of the predator from the first two movies and everything. But whereas in the first two Predator films, they were lucky because they only had one predator, we had to have lots of predators. And we couldn't find lots of 7-foot guys. Really difficult to find 7-foot guys who don't feel claustrophobic in the suits, because it's very claustrophobic having that helmet and the head on and everything. And so we ended up with 1 7-foot 2-inch guy and 2 shorter guys who were like the biggest guys we could find who were stuntmen.
In Prague?
No, I think we brought them from Germany.
Oh, wow.
But we looked all over Europe, and it was. But if you look at the movie, we're always trying to make them the same size. So the whole movie became this game of like predators on apple boxes, or when you see them in wide shot, and there's 3 of them standing, and you see their feet touching the ground, so we couldn't cheat. We'd make it look like one guy was in the foreground and the other two were standing quite a way behind him.
Right, right.
Whereas in fact, they were standing like 1 inch behind him and they were just a lot shorter.
Now, he figured this out really fast.
That's why you brought him along,
I know.
Mr. Weiland.
I paid a lot of money for this guy. Yep.
Well, originally this was, he was helped in figuring this out by, we made a little bit more about the 1904 thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that 100 years before, to the day, the whole whaling station, everyone had disappeared. Because originally we had a whole scene that started the movie, which was 1904, and you saw the whaling station when it was still intact, and you saw the last surviving guy kind of running through the whaling station.
Right, wow.
So there was a little more of a clue for him to kind of help him kind of work it out and come to that conclusion. So much of this movie is lit by torches, it's great. Was really, really dark. I mean, I was surprised how dark we could make it without the studio complaining, because normally they just want everything brighter, brighter, brighter. And but in this case, they really went with it, and they were quite supportive in making the movie really dark and moody.
Wow.
And there they are. There's 3 torches I paid for.
That's 3 in the same scene.
Yeah, that's the most you ever get. And
and the actors should get partial lighting credit, too.
Yeah, it's true. So much of your direction was in just...
Okay,
be
one
a bit more
time.
Scared
okay,
and
this
shine
time.
The torch over here.
Yeah.
Well, one more time. This time, just everything was perfect with the acting, but the torch needs to swipe the camera.
You're all good sports about that. But seeing as we lit the entire movie with torches, after the first 2 weeks, my DP just sent half his lights back.
Did he really?
Yeah, he said, we won't be needing... He was really annoyed. We won't be needing these then.
Oh, funny, man.
Okay, we've been out long enough for today. We're going to set up base camp tonight at the whaling station and get back at it first thing
tomorrow
morning.
Well, you can go back to the base camp. Oh, these were fun days, man. They really were.
No.
You wanted to leave with... There's a great bunch of actors to work with, every one of these people. I mean, no kidding.
Yeah, it was a really fun ensemble.
It really was. All except for Sanaa. No, no. How was
well,
that?
I was lucky girl because I
was
one of the only girls. surrounded by all you fabulous European men and Lance.
I'm first generation, so I'm very close to being European.
Exactly. I was spoiled.
This was good stuff. Jeez.
The old holographic pyramid.
That's a great shot.
So that's an example of those three guys. The two in the background are like really, they're little teeny tiny predators.
Compared to him, yeah.
So we had to kind of position them very carefully to kind of sell
that. He moved great, that guy. He really did.
Also, he because he'd really studied them, he really was terrific, I thought, as the predator.
Oh, yeah.
In the same way that Tom Woodruff, when he was in an alien suit, he really brought the alien to life because he's played the alien in the last three movies.
And that's not easy. It really is.
He made up a whole new vocabulary of movement, like something that you really realized that you had never seen this kind of movement before. It was fascinating to watch him.
Well, the alien came to life when he was in the suit. And it was interesting because we had scenes where there were a lot of other people in alien suits. Right. And they would just never, you know, they never achieved what he did. I mean, it was really a lesson to me to show me how important, you know, the actor inside the suit is.
This is so gross, too. And my friend told
me my favorite shots in the movies coming up.
Yeah, well, this particular shot, that my friend was in the theaters in New York, and somebody yelled out, okay, let's wait till it happens, and then I'll tell you.
When it leaped across the room?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that shot. Sacrificial chamber. Oh, terrific.
So what did they yell out?
Well, I didn't see it in that shot. Maybe it's in a different shot, but they yelled out, look, there's flying pussies. I'm sorry.
What was that?
Did you hear what I said? Flying vaginas. They look like flying vaginas.
Until they're aroused.
Oh, my gosh. You'll see in a different shot in the theater. You guys don't get it.
We get it.
To me, we got it. But that to me, leaking across the room.
That didn't look it.
That made them terrifying, man.
I was so pissed off at him that day.
What, with Colin?
No, Lex with Colin. Lex with Max.
Max.
We did all the Predator vision in exactly the same way that they'd done it in the other Predator movies. With the kind of the latest in thermal vision cameras.
Wow.
And whereas in the old Predator movies, they were like the size of a small VW Beetle. You know, they were like the size of a Volkswagen car.
Oh, really?
Because they used to like hang them out of helicopters. That's what they were developed for.
Wow.
Now it's like those cameras are just the size of like a little...
Oh, I remember it. I remember it.
There was a special guy that came in.
And they're so sensitive that when we were doing those shots of running down the corridors, inside the corridors, because the corridors were just built of wood, the cameras would actually see through the wood and see what was beyond it. So we watched a bunch of dailies we'd done, and we had to reshoot everything because you could see straight through the wall and see like someone, like one of the grips had left a cup of coffee. And you could see that in the pyramid there are all these cups of coffee. In some cases you actually see through the pyramid wall, and you could see the stage wall behind.
Jeez, man. Oh, God.
Oh, I don't like this. Ugh.
I love that first noise.
I know. Oh. My stomach is weak for this.
But look at that set. That's a monstrous, giant set. I mean, there's not an ounce of CG in that scene.
No, that was all.
That's the McCoy.
Real.
That's why when I walked on the set, I thought it was a $90 million, movie. I mean, it looks every bit like it.
Well, we got an awful lot of production value by building it in Prague.
I have a friend who's working in Ireland now, and it's a movie set in New York City.
Well, you get a lot of tax breaks in Ireland.
Really?
Yeah. And, just briefly, to talk about the economics of film. I mean, we budgeted this movie just to build the sets. The construction budget, just for the sets alone, if we'd done the sets in LA, it would have cost $20 million. Whoa. To do it in Vancouver, it was 15.
Vancouver?
To do it in Berlin, it was 5. And we built exactly the same sets in Prague for $2 million.
What?
That's unbelievable.
So it was like a saving of $18 million. Wow. And that, you know, that's one of the reasons why the movie has like a huge look, but we managed to do it on a relatively contained budget.
You did great, Paul.
Which was really, you know, that was an important thing to the studio because, you know, they were kind of, they were there, I think, kind of looking at the bottom line of what the last couple of Alien movies and the last Predator movie had done, and they had not been financial successes.
They hadn't?
Not really. I mean, they hadn't made a Predator movie for 14 years.
That.
Oh,
that
because
thing
of the
when
second one.
When he jumps across.
Oh, that was great.
That's so great.
I'll drink to that. Sanaa, you want some more?
Okay. It's water.
This is a radio
everybody.
Show. A little more Perrier.
This should... Wow.
What?
Nothing, it's just I'm here with my thespians are drinking a fine bottle of red wine.
Oh, I just said it was water, Paul.
Oh, sorry. I know I'm expecting this comment to get really raunchy now.
I'm
looking forward to what the rest of it has in order for us.
Now, this is like being in a Rubik's Cube. I mean, it really was, the way you set this up. It's really like, there's no escaping. She keeps looking at her compass, and all I was thinking of was, that's not going to do any good.
I was always fascinated by the myth of the Minotaur, you know, the beast at the heart of the labyrinth.
Wow.
And,
it's claustrophobic.
Yeah.
And this is my wife's worst nightmare. So when she saw the movie, she almost twisted my arm off.
Ooh.
I mean, really, you know, being trapped in a space like this.
And you guys shot this, I remember, for a couple of days, right?
Yeah. All of this stuff in these crawl spaces.
Great stuff.
Because we wanted to do something that kind of referenced the claustrophobia of the crawl space scene in Alien, where Tom Skerritt
down the tunnels
goes into the tunnels, or in Aliens, where you have to go into that pipe.
Pipe, oh man!
Which I just found terrifying when I first saw that movie.
It was. Jim asked me do I get claustrophobic, and of course I said no. I can ride a horse, motorcycle, go through a pipe. It doesn't matter. I got in there and I thought, oh man, this is like a nightmare, because it had a big elbow on it. You know, you go down and you take a right, and behind me they were welding it shut, and so the thing became full of arc welder smoke, and I thought, I'm not going to get out the end of this thing. It was 100 feet long. It worked, though. It worked.
I think that claustrophobia is great for the Alien. I mean, you just can't make an Alien movie without that element of claustrophobia.
Because it's visceral. It's very visceral, yeah. When I saw the first Alien film, Ridley Scott's, I thought I could actually smell it. It was so visceral. I mean, the water dripping down, and I swore when I left the film that I could smell that world.
Mm.
It was a weird... All my senses were ajar.
And with this movie, we wanted to provide the audience with a slightly different environment, because I felt that there'd been 4 Alien movies so far, and they'd all taken place in kind of spaceships and corridors, and you know it was quite a similar mise-en-scène in the 4 movies. And with this one, we wanted to kind of, with the pyramid, give it a different feeling, but then also keep the claustrophobia that was so important to making the Alien scary.
And those green lasers were great, too. You know what I mean? Instead of red ones?
Yeah.
They're green. They're great.
They're a lot more powerful.
Nobody got hit in the eye with them. Nobody. Everybody was pretty careful, really.
That was a super slime on the gun there. They actually
super
sell that in big,
slime and
big
super
buckets.
Goo. Wait, because there's 2 different consistencies, the thick one and then the watery one.
Yes.
They
the
sell
super
it?
Super slime is what?
Super slime's a really thick one.
And then the watery one is what?
Well, for the more watery one, which we used to kind of slick up the Alien, that was actually KY jelly.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which
in my mouth several times.
But that's okay.
Sorry.
It did. When the alien is over me and I'm screaming and, you know.
Look, I love the quivering lips on that thing. I really do. I mean, that's scary, man. It shows like a rage, some kind of rage. You know, look at that. Like, oh, man.
Like he can't wait to kill him.
Good stuff. That was great stuff.
That shot's actually snatched from a completely different scene, that shot of Ewan. Because originally he didn't get snatched here. It was in a completely different location. He got separated.
Oh, wow.
And he went through the tunnels a little bit more. But we thought it was kind of going on a bit too much. But by the time I'd made that decision, we'd already struck that set. So we couldn't go back and reshoot his close-up.
Oh, wow.
So we took a close-up from another scene, and you just don't notice it.
Wow.
Well, maybe you'll notice it now.
I remember this day.
But the KY jelly, we had to import it because in the Czech Republic, where we were shooting...
It was illegal?
No, they had their own version of it, and it just wasn't as good. You know, it wasn't as slick, and it just didn't... So we had to import the real KY, and so we got massive shipments of it. I mean, literally caseloads.
From the Pleasure Palace in Hollywood.
Well, we kept...
No, I'm kidding.
Well, strange, you should mention that, because... We kept getting our shipments of KY jelly seized, usually by British customs.
Are you kidding?
And we were shipping so many things to Prague, like alien heads and alien eggs and weird looking stuff. But the only thing the customs would seize is this KY jelly, and I think it's because they thought we were part of the porn industry in Prague.
That's hilarious.
Oh, for God's sake. Oh, buddy.
Ugh. Oh. Poor Max.
I hope you saw
poor
the
Colin.
The net cutting into his head there and all the blood oozing out.
Yeah.
That kick, that was mind-blowing, that
yeah.
thing. That was great.
I feel like I anticipated a little bit.
No. That's just you have damn good reflexes.
Oh, okay.
This is a sensational scene, man. They showed this down at Comic-Con, and people went crazy.
We went crazy because we had never seen it.
I'd never seen it either.
And it was on a huge screen,
bananas.
And they blasted the sound.
They were shrieking.
We spent a lot of time, me and my second unit director, Barrett Naluri, on planning this scene and then shooting it.
Wow.
And I shot for about 2 weeks on it, and then he shot for, I think, another 4 weeks.
Wow.
Really, because I mean, it's the first time you see an alien and a predator go head to head, and we knew we had to
really
deliver something.
This is a championship fight. I mean, this is really because one of the predators is killed already, and another guy is coming in. To you know, it's great stuff, man. My favorite thing is the alien getting his tail cut off and then squirting it everywhere on purpose, mm-hmm. You know, like spraying that acid.
Well, we designed the fight so it was a series of reverses, so that you felt. The alien had the upper hand, then the predator had the upper hand, and then the alien had the upper hand again.
Right.
Remember where we that time we did a take during that shot?
Yeah.
And Lance, I'm telling on you, Lance.
Go ahead. That's okay.
He was like, let's play a practical joke. We all fell out, and everybody was so worried.
Wait, let's fall down. Let's just hit the stairs and fall down.
And we all fell out.
So we all did. We all
and everybody
boom.
Was so concerned.
They thought, what happened? It was But it loosened us up so we could really play those
scenes. Well, that's because the crew loved you guys.
Oh, we loved that crew.
Did they?
Oh, I love that crew.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have been concerned. They're like, yeah, the Americans fell down. Great.
Yeah. Oh, this is great sequence, guys. Great. There it is. Cut
Yarda.
The tail off.
Yarda?
Yeah.
I liked Yarda. The steady cam.
That was
look at him.
Czech
look at him start to spray it around.
We built this set basically so these guys could just tear it apart.
This is so dope right here. I love it. Swings him around.
One of the things I'm really happy about is the integration.
Look there.
Yeah.
That to me is like just like a mind blower. Oh.
But I think you find it very difficult in this movie to tell the difference between the CG
you can't.
And the suit work. And that's something I was really happy about.
Well, that's what I mean. When Tom and Alec, when I talked to them after they saw it, they just couldn't believe it. They didn't know where their work had left off. It was just so seamless.
And a lot of it, there's like, it's 80% suit with kind of 20% CG. So a lot of the tail stuff in this fight is CG, because you can't really puppeteer the tails very well. You know, it's difficult to make the tail move very fast and with any kind of accuracy.
Right. Great stuff. Mm.
Ew, that's so gross. It makes me get gross.
You know, that idea we call this alien grid is that I wanted to personalize the creatures in some way. You know, because the trouble with the aliens is they all look exactly the same. And this was the only way I could come up to with to kind of like give that one alien an identity.
That's a great solution.
From now on, you know that that's the alien that killed two predators.
That was a badass,
so yeah, he's so, and he was very much like the alpha dog. You know, so you get the feeling that he is kind of leading the other alien children.
Wow.
That was the first day of shooting.
Yeah,
running up the stairs like that.
And we ran up those stairs about 100 times.
Look at the size of that set. Fantastic.
I'm not gonna let you die down here. I was so jet lagged that I don't even remember this day. I was literally just dizzy from like where am I? Is this a dream?
I don't know if you've noticed, but those costumes are a lot less vivid.
The colors?
Yeah, because I always knew I was gonna do a post-production process on the film, like do a digital internegative and take a lot of the color out of the movie, because I always wanted it to be quite monochromatic. So we designed costumes that were really, really colourful. So Sanaa's outfit was bright red, and Raoul's outfit was mustard yellow.
You know, I'm going to have to turn this off. Sorry, guys. Thank God it wasn't one of those real intrusive ones. Right on my scene, too. My wife must be watching this psychically. Wow. Look at that guy. Paul, you think... I turned it off, I thought. Hello? Hi. No, I didn't, honey. Yeah, I'm still working. I love you.
Say hello to the DVD.
Hi,
bye,
Jane.
Bye. Hi. Bye. It's my daughter, my 17-year-old.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was my wife. But we just missed a great piece of acting.
Yeah, that was brilliant. That's award-winning.
A couple of shots.
This
back.
Is one of my favorite things out here. This.
Yes, where he climbs through.
Well, he's almost getting crushed, and then
so
to
great.
Top it all off, he just makes it, and then they throw the blade.
And he really did this.
Oh, this is all for real.
Oh.
And we shot him crawling through there for a whole day.
Yeah.
And when we started doing it, the stunt coordinator and Gert, who's was our like special effects guy, they would always stop. They would stop that platform like way before he was anywhere near crushed the top of the door.
There's the flying vagina.
That's a great shot.
That's going to be good on DVD, where you can freeze frame and you can see all those the guts spilling out of the face hugger. And he's got
like
a little brain in there as well.
Like a cockroach. They really look like cockroaches.
This is the Predator's Clint Eastwood moment.
Oh, yeah.
He's so cool. I always saw the Predators a little like samurai.
They are.
Yeah.
You know, I think that armor is definitely kind of samurai influenced.
Like Rasta samurai.
Do you know the best part of this whole thing is? All the interviews I've doing, you know how sometimes when you talk, you start to really get it out, what you really think about it? You know, just because you're talking so much. And it is like the hunter-gatherer. The thing is so relevant. Like the other thing is such a reptilian, survival-oriented thing, which
the
is
alien.
Very basic to us. We have a reptilian section in our brains. And then you have this, you know, the hunter-gatherer. So both of those creatures are very...
mythic.
In us.
Mm. Yeah.
Very deep, you know. But I always thought the Predator was this amazing hunter-gatherer effigy, you know.
He was a great piece of design. I heard this story from Stan Winston, who designed
the first
original one.
Yeah.
You should have dreadlocks on it.
Oh, wow.
It's such a positive.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's the best. It's one of the nicest things about it.
Yeah, I mean, it really makes it so distinctive.
Thousands of years ago, these hunters found a backwater planet.
This sequence right here, I always kind of, you know, I was kind of amazed that he could get all that from those hieroglyphics.
That he could work it out?
He could work it out that quick. Read those hieroglyphics. Can people read hieroglyphics like that? Tell like,
well, the guys
stories?
I hire, you can. No, but this is, yeah. See
okay.
That?
Okay, you know, I'm surprised we got a PG-13 with that shot.
I think everyone was surprised by the PG-13 because there's just so much blood spraying everywhere. But the fact is, it's, you know, it's alien blood or it's predator blood, and the MPAA just took a very lenient view on, you know, creature violence.
This is the first picture you sent me, Paul. You sent me a you know, the storyboard of this.
Yes.
And I couldn't figure out this when you see it in the
movies.
Wait,
that looked like a one of those things.
A clapperboard?
Yeah.
That his bomb?
Yeah. Oh, it looked like a clapperboard to me. I thought it was
you
a
thought
mistake.
That was a mistake?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I sent you those drawings.
Yeah, they're great.
Done
yeah.
by a really talented artist, Rick Bowen, and the images in the movie of the aliens kind of crawling
didn't
up the pyramid.
Yeah.
That's pretty much exactly as it...
You paid for those yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, when I was trying to kind of get the movie set up and kind of push Fox, you know, over the top to kind of get them enthused to make the movie... I went out and I paid for a series of big paintings to be done. So it wasn't just kind of presenting my idea for the movie, it was also presenting a vision, which I thought they could see it and they could
so
say,
smart,
you know,
Paul.
This is how we can sell it. And this is how we can differentiate it from the other Alien movies.
Right.
Because I said it's not just another Alien movie. You know, this is the first time you're going to see tens of thousands of aliens. This is the first time you're going to see predators linked
more
to ancient
predator.
Human civilization.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to, there's a... I wanted to really sell the idea that there was a mythology to this movie.
That's one of the things that I loved when I read the script.
The Von Donegan thing, you know, kind of goes way back.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's one of the things that I thought was such a fresh idea when I read the script about, you know, the predators coming into their manhood and having to go through these rites of passage.
The one line I missed from the whole movie is her saying, are you telling me these are teenagers?
Oh, yeah.
I missed that line. Of all the lines in the whole script, I loved that one. But, I mean, I whatever the reason. You know.
Well, we took it out because at that point we felt... I mean, there's a lot of humour in the movie.
Yeah.
And you're telling me they're teenagers is a funny line. And it kind of came at a moment in the movie where we felt the humour was inappropriate. Yeah,
yeah,
we wanted to kind of keep the tension.
I know.
And we felt the humour of that line would dissipate the tension, so we took it out.
I wish... I mean, I said that to a guy after he had seen the movie. It was a gardener that was working at my place. He saw the movie and I said, do you realize they were teenagers? And he went, what?
Yeah, no.
Now that makes a lot of sense. Because they were getting all the mythology, but it was the one little thing. I just loved that line. I mean, I'm telling you, I know you're balancing the orchestra of this thing. I know, but it is a great line. There's two that you wrote that were phenomenal to me, which is the enemy of...
My enemy is my friend.
That is another great one.
I can't take credit for that. That was Shane Salerno again.
Very good. It's very good.
The Teenagers was mine, but I cut that out.
That's a great one.
Why did you cut it?
Also, I the whole teenager thing I felt was, you know, I felt like these creatures clearly have humongously long lifespans. I mean, they live for thousands and thousands of Earth years. So the idea is, even if they are in their terms, teenagers, you
right.
know, in our terms, they are hundreds of years old. Because
right.
I'd always felt that if these guys are teenagers, then the predators that were hunting Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny Glover, they're not even teenagers. You know, these are like the little children running around
wow.
that have been allowed to go and play yeah. on Earth. Because, you know, clearly it's easier to hunt Danny Glover than it is to hunt an alien. So it's only when you've killed like enough humans and you've collected enough skulls
that
alien. You get a chance to kind of step up and do this ritual that allows you to progress to the next level.
This is a funny line. How do you say scared shitless in Italian? And he answers,
What did he say?
I don't know what he said, but it's something in Italian. Really long in Italian.
What does he say in Italian?
I don't know. He told me what it meant.
He might have been lying.
He could have been lying. He could have been saying bad things about all of us. I guess we'll find out when we release the movie in Italy.
Mm-hmm. I bet it brings the house down. You know, it'll be like... Oh, that's great. Look at that.
Yep. That's me on a stepladder with Tom and Alec just curling the tail.
Great.
Oh, this is cool. This was one of the earlier weeks of shooting. Another one where I was like, oh, this is what it's like.
This was a big surprise. I didn't realize he got bagged there. That's where he gets bagged. You know, I didn't... That was a total surprise to me.
Well, I always felt that... I think this is really well shot and really well mounted, but it's basically just a dangling on the edge of a chasm scene, which you've seen in, like, dozens of movies. And I thought the only way to make it different is just at the point where the heroic guy is going to save the gorgeous-looking girl.
He's gone.
You kill the guy.
Yeah.
Because I think that is the
really gorgeous-looking girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, gorgeous-looking woman.
I'm blushing.
Woman.
And I think that makes the scene truly surprising, that he gets
it was a total
by
shot.
The alien there.
Yeah, it was a total shot.
Because otherwise it's just, you know,
she's
it looks
alone.
Nice, but it's standard kind of, it's movie action cliche.
The idea of this is just so freaky, to be alone, all alone.
I'm actually still alive. The reason he was looking through me was to figure out how to cure me. Oh, man. This is my last go-around with the alien and predator. I mean, alien.
No, you don't. You keep saying that, but you never know. Anything's possible.
With great writers, yeah.
In the prequel.
Yeah, the prequel to the prequel.
The prequel to the prequel. Wow. You should see the tiles I'm making, Paul. They're unbelievable, really. They're really in keeping with the textures of the walls and everything in this. They're artifact.
This is another one of my favorite sets.
So this is what Lance does in between fighting aliens and predators. He makes
ceramics.
He makes ceramics.
Oh God, that was a great reveal. I remember that. Oh man.
He blends so well into the architecture of the pyramid there that it does take like a second or so to realize he's standing there. So this set is exactly the same set that had that huge staircase in where you got killed, Lance.
Really?
It's the same set kind of reused.
Recycled.
Rebuilt slightly, yeah. And that's exactly the same set as the set that had all the statues in it, the big predator, giant predator statues. And wow. we used the same set again for like a fourth one when you're all trapped in those cells after the pyramid is reconfigured.
This part right here we did for like 3 days. From different angles, different speeds, KY jelly in my mouth, dirt in my hair, slime on my forehead. I was like...
There was slime everywhere. And I remember, because the alien was, you know, stuck on the end of the spear, it would just spend the whole day drooling on Sonal. And she came to me and she said, does he have
there
to drool?
There it is.
Does he have to drool? And I'm like, it's the alien. Of course he has to drool. Does he have to drool so much? Yes, he has to drool that much.
No, and you know, the funny thing is, I've said this in some of the press, is that one of the things I realized when I was shooting this is that those creatures, they're so high maintenance. They have like their whole beauty squad, their glam squad. And before every take, literally, we were all waiting on them. They had to get the perfect amount of slime and the perfect amount of...
Oh, yeah, those guys take it serious, man.
And the perfect amount of aliens.
Are divas. Yeah, they are.
Constantly waiting.
Yeah, well, each alien
and
has...
And the predators.
Each alien has a team of, like, four or five guys.
And it's like they're on their own... They have their own standards. It's like...
And there's, you know, there's just one person who's pumping the slime out of the mouth.
Yes, and they take their time. And they have the fluorescent blood that has to get to the right amount of glow.
But it's got to look right.
It sure does.
That's why.
Because if he went and saw the dailies and they had screwed up,
I know.
They would just be heartbroken.
This is when I'm like, you ain't leaving me.
Because it's so difficult to get, really, it's so difficult to get those creatures to look like
real.
Anything other than guys in rubber suits.
Right.
And the advantage that the earlier Alien and Predator movies had, if you think about the first Alien movie, you barely see the alien.
Yeah.
And if you make a movie called Alien versus Predator, you know you've got to see tons more of the alien than you've ever seen before. And that was the thing we were always fighting was, you know, you want to see the creatures. You want to the creatures to really be a big part of the movie. But at the same time, you don't want to show the creatures. So when you do, the emphasis was always to try and, you know, get the slime looking as good as possible.
Yeah, I understand. I understand.
You didn't on the day.
I mean, on the
thank goddamn well, alien.
I didn't.
Taken so long. Oh, so my
these divas.
When the alien is stuck on the spear and it's drooling all over Sanaa for like 3 days, and she says, "Can we not have slime?" And I say, "No, we have to have slime. Do we have to have as much slime? Yes, we have to have as much slime." Then she said, "Well, can I have a towel? Can I have a towel because it's like it's drooling slime on my trousers."
It was drooling so much on my pants that. Literally, my pants were soaked, and it's freezing in the studio because, you know, we didn't have heat.
So
we didn't
I,
want
so
me to
I
get
said,
sick and hold up shooting.
But we're doing a lot of handheld shooting, right? So I say, no, you can't have a towel because it might get in shot. So sure enough, we're doing a take, and I just see this thing suddenly come into shot.
It's
I'm
a
like,
towel.
Cut, what is that? And, you know,
it was
of course,
a red towel to match my pants.
It was not a red towel. It was a bright blue towel with white daisies on it.
It
was
like, didn't have daisies
it
on
it. It did. It was the girliest girl towel I have ever seen in my life. And finally, so I gave in so you could have a towel. But
we got a red one.
We got a red one, so it would at least match the costume.
Good work.
But that's my action heroine, the blue towel.
I'm an actress.
White daisies.
I was acting like an action heroine.
Man, look at this.
This is so amazing.
Yeah, this is some of my favorite visual effects. All these little aliens crawling all over the queen.
The babies are saving their mama.
That queen was unbelievable. The hydraulic one.
Yeah, we built it stood about 18 feet high, the hydraulic.
In reshoots.
The hydraulic queen. And the queen was, we built it, the torso up to the head. And then it was mounted on a crane. And it was operated by a huge computer system. And it needed about 12 puppeteers to operate it. And the computer had all these limiters on it. Because, you know, with a big hydraulic puppet like that, you know, and it moves really fast. If when people stand close to it,
you can
if
get
it suddenly has a fit, it could be quite dangerous.
Wow!
So there were limiters on the computer, so there were certain moves it couldn't do suddenly.
Wow!
And the only thing they forgot to put a limiter on is when it shoots out its inner mouth. Mm-hmm. And I saw it happen for the first time. Was the queen had her outer jaws closed, and the inner mouth shot out. And she punched out her own teeth.
Teeth, yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
Her teeth just went flying, and everyone just thought it was the most hysterical thing. She'd like punched out her own teeth.
Yeah.
And so everyone's laughing until I see all the ADI guys scrabbling around on the ground
to try to find the teeth.
And I'm like, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We've got to look for the teeth." I said, "Well, don't you have spare teeth?" And they didn't.
Oh no.
So then it went from being really funny to really
disastrous.
Yeah, because those teeth are they're translucent. Oh, so man. When they fall on the ground, they're really hard to see. So, you know, shooting was held up for a long time while we just went and looked for teeth.
Those were like $100,000 teeth, right.
Scene, remember during my screen test I had to shoot that gun? No, I didn't even have to shoot this gun. This was the Desert Eagle. I had to shoot just a regular gun, and I couldn't shoot it. And I remember you talked to me. You're like, it's really important that, you know, the lead character knows how to shoot a gun. And I was like, oh, I can shoot a gun. And then it got to the time when we were shooting the actual scene in the screen test, and I couldn't pull the trigger for some reason. Like, my finger froze. I had, like, I was like, oh, gosh, I'm never going to get this job.
Lex, they mustn't reach the surface. They mustn't reach the
There's Raoul covered in super slime and
yeah,
KY jelly.
Yeah, really covered.
What most people don't realize about the aliens as well is that when they start drooling and you get all the drool into their system, into the pipes that run inside the alien's body, mm-hmm. they don't stop immediately just because you call cut. They just continue drooling and drooling and drooling. So between takes, the alien would be sitting on the edge of the set on an apple box
drooling.
With his head over a bucket
yeah.
and just drool into the bucket.
I like that, how he looks at her.
He's like checking out your ass.
That's good.
Those are the teeth.
He just snapped his neck.
Yeah.
That was good. Really good. Good touches in this man. These predators are strong.
He's a cool predator.
Yeah.
Ugh, this is more gross stuff. She's mad.
Well, wouldn't you be? Had all your children stolen away from you. That was great, the egg opening. That was something new that Tom and Alec added that hadn't been in the earlier Alien movies.
What, where they could see inside
the egg? Yeah, you see inside the egg and you see the tail kind of squirming around.
Wow, yeah, that's great.
That was particularly effective.
Oh, it looks like a...
it looks like one of those electronic clapper boards, you're right.
It does.
That kind of stuff was so difficult, just to get, like, a guy in a suit that heavy to run.
Oh, man.
Right.
Just terrific.
I mean, that was one of the things that was so difficult about this movie, because when you look at the original Predator movies, you see the Predator move so little. He's nearly always just hanging from a tree, or he's in the shadows. They had to do so much more in this movie than they'd ever really done before.
Yeah, baby. I like that shot. Oh, my God. And I remember this. This was going like 2 miles per hour. And we did it over and over and over. Something happened, right? Did something happen where we had to do it?
No, when you jumped on the sled, it was just difficult to get it to look right because that piece of tunnel was only about 20 feet long.
Exactly.
So we could never get the sled traveling
and
very fast.
That sled was going like... 5 miles per hour or even less? Not even five, huh? That looks great.
Tim, this is my favorite story of the explosion that night. The German special effects guys.
Oh, yeah, because
you kept saying them bigger. And they went, really? Bigger? And you said, yeah, big. I mean, big. And they took you at your word and made it bigger and blew the whole setup. Just blew the side off the whole thing. And it was like...
Well, I knew we'd only have one chance at it. And I'd worked with all the guys before on Resident Evil. So I would say, it's going to be...
Bigger mine hair? Yes, like... Oh,
I'd
man.
Say, Gert, it's going to be big, isn't it? You'd be like, yeah, it's going to be big.
Yeah, big.
And so then when he does it, he used, as well as the traditional, like, harmless explosive stuff, he loaded up those cannons with 40 gallons of gasoline.
Oh, jeez.
And the explosion was so big, it was seen all over Prague. There were, like, planes flying overhead that reported it. You know, they're, like, they're 20,000 feet up in the air and they're seeing this massive explosion.
Fireball coming up.
And of course, what happens is the whole set starts to burn down because the whole set was made out of wood mm-hmm. and polystyrene.
And all that paper
and
snow.
It looks fantastic. And the producers rush up to Gert. I go, what did you do? You know, the whole set, it's burning down. And he just goes, yeah, wood and polystyrene, it burns.
Yeah.
It was great.
Okay, in this scene, a lot of people think that he's going to try and kiss me. A bunch of people said that to me. They're like, I thought the Predator...
He's a handsome devil. You know, the thing that I liked the most about how you played this, I'm serious, uh-huh. I really mean this, that you played it so numb. Totally numb. You didn't even feel the burn
really,
in your face.
Really, that's not what I was going for.
It was a great
for.
Choice. Really,
I'm kidding. I don't know that I was going for numb, but...
No, but after what you've been through and everything else,
yeah.
To not even... The reaction to burning your face is not even that... It's like, what else can happen now?
Yeah, yeah.
Now you've joined the club.
Yeah.
And if you can see in the background there are like chunks of alien. Originally, the idea was that he just picked up a chunk of alien because they'd been kind of like blown all over the place.
Wow.
But then Gert made the explosion so big that it was clear that we felt like all the aliens should have just been wiped out completely, so there shouldn't have been alien chunks. And that's when we came up with the idea that he'd kept that finger from earlier, the alien finger. This is where I think the blend of CG and animatronic is particularly good. Because all the way through this scene, we're going in and out of real and CG.
And there she starts running.
Is that AMB on you?
That was no.
AMB acid?
AB smoke?
AB
no,
smoke?
No,
it was coming out of my light, my broken light. They had like...
And this whole scene is shot indoors.
Wow.
I was getting my sprint.
It was,
getting my sprint.
In a smoked up, blacked out stage, which was an aircraft hangar.
It was fun. This part was fun. Except this part was not fun. I have a knot on my head still, Paul. Do you see it?
I do.
I don't know what I did. I might have to go to the doctor. It's been months. It won't go away.
Are you sure it was from my movie?
It's from your movie.
Can you prove that? Am I going to hear from your lawyers?
No, you're not. But, you know, the funny thing is I was so afraid.
Then I remember it happening.
I was so afraid of being under that thing, and nothing happened to me from when we were shooting. It just happened when I was on my way, like, out on a break, when it was still. Remember when I bumped my head that night?
That's how it always happens. You shoot these big, exciting scenes. I did a movie with Kurt Russell, and he broke his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And we released this false press statement that he broke his ankle doing this amazing stunt. The truth was he tripped over an ornamental cabbage when he was walking outside to go smoke a cigarette. But that big tank is what we call the separator. They were used for like separating out the
blubber,
whale oil, the blubber, yeah, getting the oil out. But we built that practically, and that thing. It literally weighed a ton and a half. And it was all hydraulics. That's how it was moving and shaking.
Wow.
It was like an amusement park ride.
It was very heavy. And it was very scary to be underneath as well. And Rick Forsyth, our stunt coordinator, he went under it one time. And we just shook it around. This is long before you went under that.
Although there was an ambulance outside the stage.
At all times.
At all times. Only but, I mean, when you were shooting this, though.
You were never in any danger under there. But it was really scary. And Rick came out and he said, you know what? I'm really... I was scared underneath that.
I was scared too.
And he said, you know, you've got to be prepared that, you know, Sanaa might do this once and then just not go back underneath
that. Oh, I wish I would have known I had that option.
Yeah, well, we didn't let you know that. And then we shot for a week.
Exactly. And I have a permanent bump on my head now.
Now you're making me sound bad.
No, it's not your
Russell's
fault.
Ankle.
I did it to
I
myself.
I bumped your head.
I mean,
I'm going to have trouble working with actors from now on. They're like, no, nah, no, we don't
I
like
had to
it.
Get
we
a cold
people.
For the whole movie. Keep the cold going
keep
so
the
I
cold,
can keep
exactly.
coughing.
You know, I have asthma, and every time I hear your performance in this movie, Lance, it just really makes me feel ill.
I know.
All that wheezing you do.
I know that. Just like that, it had to be real, man. You couldn't fake that. I mean, you don't want that fake coughing.
Yeah, fortunately, Lance got quite jet-lagged and then very sick when he turned up in Prague, and he stayed like that.
I stayed it through the whole movie.
Yeah.
I had a cold all through the whole movie.
It was a fun shoot.
Oh, it was
a
great shoot.
It was grueling,
man.
But it was fun. It was great. I love this shot.
I have told people, and I'm not kidding, this was one of the easiest movies I've ever made.
Not me.
I felt so good on it. No, I mean, no, but I felt so good
well,
being
there. Well,
we had
a great, great group of people. And it was a great energy on the set.
Oh, it really was.
Off. Like it
and
was
I think
great...
I that's because of you, Paul. You know, bullshit rolls downhill, and you were absolutely
oh, I love that phrase.
Making people
bullshit rolls downhill.
Yeah.
The director
and I was
really
my bullshit
sets the
to
tone.
Myself.
You totally. So we were all very happy and content.
No, it was a good. It was one of the first movies that had a kickoff party.
Yeah, it was
that's
great.
That's a tradition in Europe. You always have a kickoff party when you start.
Yeah.
Really?
That was one of my first kickoff parties.
Are these guys walking up the ramp, the predators? I don't know if you can see they're struggling there. That was very, very slippy, that ramp, because I wanted it to be very reflective, to reflect all the light. So we put Mylar there, which is very slippy, reflective. So those predators with their rubber feet, they would get halfway up the ramp and then start
slide
slipping
down.
And again, it's one of those things that when
I like
you
how
look back
dreads.
On it, it's really funny. At the time, it was so annoying.
Swing in the wind.
Oh, the dreads are great.
I love it. Yeah. In slow motion.
Yeah, the Predator's got his L'Oreal contract, man.
You remember I did Aliens? Not Aliens, oh, excuse me. I meant Close Encounters.
Same
I
thing,
love
right?
That movie.
And they lowered the center of the thing down. It was all Mylar.
Yeah.
And everybody was falling on their ass. You know, Richard Dreyfuss got up to the top and slid all the way down.
I wish you'd told
so
me
the
that
rubber.
Before.
Well, I know, but I wasn't there at this moment. But all the little rubber-suited kids, they were having a terrible time trying to climb up that thing.
Yeah, because they, yes, same thing.
But see, okay, this is, okay.
This is the part where people think I'm just left there to die.
Yeah,
but
they're going.
Well,
they're
depend not really... on how your sequel renegotiation goes.
Do I
That's
have
like
a renegotiation, Paul? Because they already set my price before I auditioned, which I don't think is was just completely unfair. I'm glad you gave me permission to renegotiate. There it is.
There it is, but but remember, look, it cuts away so fast that it
maybe you don't make it.
If the audience
maybe I don't make
like,
it, and
you have
be
to
a
cut
Lex.
Your fee by 50%, otherwise you don't make it. That's how the second movie opens. You're just frozen, stiff.
Okay, the thing breaks out of this chest, right?
And he's a predator.
And then it cuts to the back of the ship for the new movie, and I'm in the back, and they're working on me.
Yeah.
They're like.
So this is the Predalien.
That's wild.
And you know, we did not do this to kind of like set up a sequel. It was just so I didn't want to kind of leave the audience with the feeling that just because the Predator was, you know, the last man standing, as it were, between the Predator and the Alien, that the Predator was somehow like tougher than the Alien.
Okay,
I wanted
but one
to redress
question,
the balance a little bit.
Oh,
at the
one
end.
Question that gotcha. Came up from a fan, why did the Queen try and kill the Predator if he had a baby in his belly? Because don't they normally stay away from when they're being incubated?
Well, you know how much we discussed that, because if you look where the Queen stabs him, I mean, she stabs Scar right through the belly. It's not the chest. Because the chest bursters are, you know, they nestle in your chest cavity, you know, kind of up, so because they burst through your rib cage.
Mm-hmm.
And when Scar gets hit, he gets hit more kind of in the groin and belly area.
But he, okay.
David Johnson.
All right. Woohoo.
Yeah, buddy.
That's my story anyway, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, y'all.
Hey, that was... I love
you.
Not
gonna,
every minute is.
Are you not going to talk through the 11 minutes of credits?
I have somewhere to go.
Come on. Give me your fond remembrances of John Bruno.
Well, there's a little buddy. Alec and those guys.
Alec and his. Okay. All right.
Aren't you going to stay for my credit?
Hope you guys enjoyed it. It was my pleasure.
Sanaa has to go to a premiere.
A premiere.
Lance and I don't have anything to do.
No.
We're going to go next door and help Michael Mann comment on Collateral. He's next door, apparently.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, Collateral. I didn't see it.
Well, we can go watch it now with him.
Oh, God.